My Mac Podcast number 114. We've got an interview with Don McAllister on Book Bites Live and much more.
The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com podcast.
And it's once again, it's time for MyMac.com's podcast. I'm Tim Robertson, the publisher and host of the MyMac.com podcast.
I'm one of the co-hosts, Chad Perry.
And I guess I'm the other co-host, Guy Searle.
Guy Searle.
In the house.
Well, Guy Searle's in the house.
In my house.
So we don't really have a set format this week. Obviously, Chad and Guy and myself have been trying to come up with kind of a feature every week. Mm-hmm. And this week, we just kind of wanted to flap in the breeze a little bit.
Let her hang, baby.
Flap in the breeze.
Okay, but you're going to bring the explicit yeah. explicit label back yeah. on again.
Anybody else getting a little bit tired of the iPhone speak? I mean, I'm excited about the product. Don't get me wrong.
But yeah, but you know what? I got to see it. I got to see someone I
away.
Know with it.
It's
well,
six
you know,
months
you know
away.
What's ridiculous is, you know, there was all this build up and all this hype before it was ever even announced that Apple had any interest in it at all.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Apple finally came out. Steve Jobs stood on stage and said, "Hey, everybody, look, here it is. Here's the iPhone."
And he did it for an hour and a half.
Yes, he did. And now what have we got? Lots of speculation about the iPhone.
Okay. Yeah. It's like, okay, it's a real product, and we know what it will do, but is there anything else it will do? What won't it do? What about this? What about that? So, yeah, I'm just a little tired of it. Until it actually comes out and I can get my hands on it, or at least I know someone who has their hands on it, I'm just a little tired of, you know. Last week's conversation with Bill Palmer at iProg.com. Little promo there for him.
Wait, is it iProg or iProng?
iProng.
Okay.
With a G at the end. Like
and
that.
An N somewhere.
Your kid starts going around.
And a silent L.
You know, we talked about the next generation of the iPod, which we're all eagerly anticipating.
Mm-hmm.
What we
and
didn't talk about. And spec. Well, yeah, that goes without saying. What we didn't talk about, though, was iLife and iWork. Honestly, iWork doesn't. I never use anything in iWork.
I use Pages all the time.
I never use it. Never.
I would use Keynote if I actually could use it at a client site, but most of my clients all have PowerPoint.
PowerPoint.
Mm. Well, can't you save it as a PowerPoint presentation?
Yeah, but you don't get 100% translation, and you do
well,
have
and you
problems.
Miss out on all the cool transitions. And
yeah, so it's like, what's the point, you know? Yeah, but I'm more excited at this point. I wasn't during the week of the expo or leading up to the expo, but now that we're a couple weeks from the expo, after the expo, if you will, post expo, it's the post expo blues.
Yes, PE.
At least I am really looking forward to finding out what's going to be the new features in the next version of iLife 07. And Apple is still silent on this. It's quite surprising.
Yeah, and I actually wanted to bring that up, and we never got around to talking about it. When are they going to release this?
Yeah, it's time, isn't
Vista's it? Vista's already out now.
Hmm.
Well,
a lot of people are. Yeah, well, yeah. It will be by the time we record our next podcast. Technically,
that's right. We could always speculate about Vista.
Oh, here's something about Vista that you guys might be surprised about. Obviously, we have a very good working relationship with Microsoft.
Sure.
At least the Macintosh business unit of Microsoft.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we'll have more news on them in a minute, by the way, with a big announcement.
Yay.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Tease.
Yeah. So, but I was emailing back and forth with the people at Microsoft, their PR company, and it dawned on me that, at least on this podcast, more and more recently, we are talking about running Windows on a Apple hardware, right?
Right.
We talk about that quite often.
Mm-hmm.
Quite honestly, I'm not willing to go out and buy a copy of Vista when it comes out.
Right.
I'm just not really, you know, I'm a Mac guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I do get a lot of email, and we talk about it quite often on the podcast, that maybe it would actually be beneficial for me to have a copy of Windows.
Vista?
Vista, yeah.
No.
So I'm talking to the Windows side of Microsoft now to get a copy of Windows Vista Ultimate.
Wow.
And because a lot of the people that are listening to this podcast are recent switchers. It's people mm-hmm. who were using a Windows PC, a Dell, an HP, or Sony, whatever, and they bought Apple hardware, and they're starting to learn the Mac OS X.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also installing Windows, at the moment, XP, but very soon, Vista, on the same machine so they can get their work done on it. You know?
Right.
I think it would probably be beneficial for us to have a copy. And I'm hoping that
You did load the beta on there.
Though. Well, yeah, but that's going to expire
right,
eventually.
Right.
So I think it would be beneficial for MyMac.com to have at least one computer running a full copy of the Ultimate Vista.
On their Mac.
Yeah, because, I think some of our readers and listeners are going to appreciate that. So,
What
do you think, Guy?
Well,
what's your opinion?
Isn't that kind of being covered by David Cohen and Fenestration?
Well, yes and no. But it's such a huge segment. There's so much to cover that... and I'm not talking about just for the podcast either. I'm talking about articles online.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a huge topic that can do with some more coverage. And so we're going to see what we can do.
So do you think that Apple is waiting until the Vista's formal release to come out and release?
No. Leopard's just not ready.
Mm.
And for those speculating that iLife is waiting as well for...
Leopard?
So because maybe there's some features in Leopard that take advantage, or some features in iLife 07 mm-hmm. that take advantage of Leopard 10.5 for the uninitiated.
Yep.
I don't think that's the case. Basically because, look, the day that Leopard comes out, a lot of Mac users are going to go out and get it, including me, probably you as well, mm-hmm. and Guy.
Right.
We're all suckers. We're going to drop our 129 ponies and pick up a copy.
Hoo-ha.
But more importantly, more people are running Tiger than mm-hmm. are going to be running 10.5, at least for the foreseeable future.
Apple does not want Panther and Jaguar for that
yeah,
matter.
And Apple's not going to cannibalize sales of iLife 07 by making it
Exclusive to Leopard?
Yeah, or dependent on core Leopard technologies. Just not going to happen. So I think that...
Maybe they could sell a dumber version of it or something.
Or I don't know.
Both on the same disk.
That's something that Microsoft does.
that's a Windows thing. Where I honestly, there's way too many versions of Vista that's coming out. I mean,
it's just insane.
I just didn't understand that at all.
But I will say that they're smart by putting them all on one disk.
Mm-hmm.
And if you decide you want to upgrade, you just enter in your credit card information and poof, Magic Dragon, you've got it. That's pretty smart. I like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like the idea of having 12 different versions of the same OS and minuscule differences between one to the next. And Apple, really, they have what? The home edition of
OS
Leopard.
X.
OS X. They have the server edition.
And
that's...
What else do you need? Yeah.
That's pretty much it. I mean, it's...
The
smart.
Enterprise Edition.
Well, it's smart simply for the fact that
all you have to know
is what version of OS X that they're running, and you know what they've got. There's no, that version doesn't come with the networking capabilities that you get in the ultimate version of OS X. No.
Yeah.
None of that. So, But then again, it does help.
The super secret version of Windows.
Yeah, but it does help that Apple does control the hardware as well.
Right.
Let's not look past the fact that Microsoft really doesn't control the hardware, and they don't really know what you're going to be running this on. They have recommendations on the box,
right?
But really, it's up to the manufacturers on what's going to be inside that computer. So,
mm-hmm.
anyway, so Apple made a killing on the last financial quarter. Did you guys look at that?
$1 billion.
$1 billion. That's not a little bit amount of money, Guy.
No, that's quite a bit of money, and unfortunately, they completely forgot to cut me that check.
Yeah, well, one of the things that we've been talking about, Chad and I were actually talking about this quite a bit, and I think you and I were talking about it as well, Guy. What is Apple doing with those profits right now? From outward appearances, they're sitting on it in the bank, and that's not a good thing for a company to do. Is to build such a big war chest without investing.
Well, at the same time, think about this. Would we even still have Apple Computer around today if they didn't have that big war chest in the 90s?
they didn't have a big war chest in the 90s, guys.
That's what Gilmelio had to go take care of before they kicked him out.
That's one of the reasons that
well, they didn't were in they, such they financial paid off, trouble. They paid off all their debt. And,
no.
No? Okay, well.
No. Apple was in... They were almost completely out of cash.
Yeah, they nearly went insolvent.
And it was Gilmelio's first task to inject some cash into the company. And that was one of the reasons that it was so important for Microsoft to invest that initial $150 million that everyone seemed to have a problem with. Mm-hmm. But no, I think Apple's in a prime position at this point to possibly look at buying other companies. And that's kind of what I want to talk about a little bit today. What do you think Apple, what would Apple benefit from buying other companies?
Mm.
Yeah.
Remember,
they're a consumer electronics company now. Right. They're not just a computer company. So it really broadens the scope of what they could really acquire.
Well, I think it depends on what they're planning to do with that, whether those acquisitions are to expand a service or whether they're to, you know, increase their R&D. What are they doing? What's
with
it
the money?
For? You know, why do you want to do this? You know,
well,
we know that they
want to get into the living room, and
absolutely,
they have the Apple TV going. I don't see them getting into plasma or LCD. You know, the large HD TV
prices
displays.
Of those are coming down significantly,
and there's
enough.
No money there.
Well, at least not for Apple. No,
right,
unless Apple had a large 42-inch plasma LCD. I don't think it'd be plasma. I think they'd probably go LCD if they did anything. Mm-hmm. That you hang on your wall, and it's also a Mac OS at its core, a full computer.
The Maxi iMac.
With the slot.
It would be
a
42. It would be a 42-inch iMac with a TV tuner, HD built in, everything.
Bluetooth keyboard and mouse.
Yeah. Absolutely. Why not?
Would it still have a slotted drive?
Sure, just on the side. You wouldn't see it. It would just be on the side, just like on the iMac.
Either that or you add a... You add a DVD burner player to the Apple TV, and it connects up to the
you
big
don't
TV
need, you don't
wirelessly.
Need an, yeah, but you don't need an Apple TV if the TV itself is the Mac.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to stream it to itself? Yeah, you don't. It's going to stream to itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's an idea. That was going around about 5-6 months ago.
I don't know. I think that's too narrow a market, and that there wouldn't be enough people that would want one.
Oh,
that.
I think a lot of people would want one. I just don't see it happening.
Let me rephrase that. I don't see a lot of people buying one.
Yes,
actually, wanting one
that's
is a
better.
Different thing.
Because if Apple did something like that, the thing would probably cost $3,000. And easy. Right now, if I had $800 in my pocket, well, I've got five. if I had $800 in my pocket, I can go out to Sam's Club and pick up a 42-inch plasma right now. So the price of these large TVs are really coming down. I want one.
What about, and this is just throwing something to the wall to see if it sticks.
Throw it out there.
What about a next generation display?
You know,
incorporating the same touch technology that they've got on.
Oh, so you'd actually touch the screen to do stuff? Do you really
or
want
have
to be,
the option? To.
Do you really want to be leading?
I don't
up
want
and,
that's the thing. I don't want fingerprints all over my thing.
When you're talking about television sets, you know, and you know, we're obviously
well. No, he's talking about monitors
more.
Here.
Yeah.
He's talking about a next generation Apple monitor that would include that would include the touch technologies that we saw demoed on the iPhone.
I don't know
what the need would
I
be.
I personally
though.
Don't really no, nah, I don't I, you know, everybody's used to a keyboard and a mouse.
Yeah.
Keyboard the mouse has been around for what? 30 years almost?
Yeah.
It was invented longer, but I mean really Apple
back
popularized
in the early
70s. Mouse, so about 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
How long has the keyboard been around? 100 years? 150 years?
Yeah.
And we still haven't improved on the keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that for a minute. Here's a concept, an input device to transfer characters to either paper, i.e. typewriter, or a screen, i.e. computer, right?
Mm-hmm.
We haven't come up with anything better.
Well, there's been a couple of different keyboard layouts.
We're still talking about a keyboard. Physical keys that we push down to make the characters appear on the screen. With the brilliance of Silicon Valley, we can't get better than this.
One thing that might be kind of weird would be to have a keyboard where each one of the keys was like a mini display, and if you wanted to use QWERTY or if you wanted to use Dvorak or, you know, whatever the keyboard layout you wanted, you could just basically hit a button and all of your keys would switch to that. Or you could actually
that would be neat.
Program your
own. Well, that's been out there as vaporware for a while. I can't remember the name of the company that's been doing
But that's prohibitively expensive, especially when you figure how much a keyboard takes a beating.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we beat on these darn keyboards. But still, getting back to my point, it's the same basic technology that we've been using for a century to input characters.
With the brilliance
of Silicon Valley, really, this is the best we can do?
What was that stupid movie with Tom Cruise?
No, I was just thinking of it. I know what you're talking about, too. I was just thinking of that today.
Magnolia?
No. The science fiction one.
I will find it.
No.
Minority Report.
There's 20 listeners going,
Minority Report, exactly.
I know that stupid movie! Yeah, that was an interesting concept, but honestly, I think humans like a tactile feel. I mean, if you had a display that you literally don't touch, how could you use it without looking at it? Think about it. If it was a holographic projection on your desktop, and that's how you typed, how could you really type without looking at the keys to see what you're hitting?
Oh, I think the same way you type right now. You just get used to where things
should
be.
But it's a tactile feel.
Right, but you're still looking at your display, so if you screw up on a letter, you're going to see it up on the screen.
Like if you're going to type, and I'm putting my hands on the keyboard right now, where you place your fingers, you always know that you always got that little dot, at least if you're using an Apple computer, on the F and the J, so you know exactly
where your home keys are.
Yeah.
Right.
How do you do that with a holographic keyboard? Unless you put a little dent on your desktop. So that's probably getting a little far afield of what should Apple do with this big war chest.
Well, they're also developing a lot more along the lines of speaking to your computer and having it.
Yeah, nobody wants that. Everybody thinks they do, but the David Pogues of the world that literally recite to their computer to write their books and their articles is actually a pretty rare thing. And good luck doing that in a working environment.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if you think this is annoying by 1,000 people in one office? Imagine everybody murmuring at their computer. Oh, that would just drive everybody nuts.
Sure,
everybody. And obviously, you're probably going to have some kind of a microphone in front of your face. Otherwise, you're going to be right up on the computer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see it happening.
Well, did you ever play with that with System 9?
Sure, yeah. I think everybody did. And it was kind of neat to show somebody, watch this, Mac, shut down, and it would shut down.
It never seemed to work that well for me.
No, it didn't for me either. But if you trained it long enough and you got used to the quirkiness of it, you could actually get a little bit accomplished with it. But honestly, it was still longer to talk to my computer to tell it what I wanted to do than
to do
a few
yourself.
Clicks on my keyboard or my mouse. You know? Mm-hmm. So talking to your computer, I think, is nobody really. Maybe if it's in the car, you know, where you can literally tell the car what radio station or what your destination is going to be and the GPS can plot it out for you or answer the telephone or
download the MyMac.com podcast.
There you go. So that I can see. But see, that's a different working environment. You're in a car, probably most of the time by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's so sad.
Yeah. Well, actually, most people, when they're in the car, the majority of the time, they are by themselves.
True.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't want to talk to my iPod.
No.
I don't want to talk to my computer.
But, you know, it would be handy when I was, like, scrolling for a song while I'm driving down the road.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I could go to Garth Brooks. Boom, it's at the Garth Brooks.
Yeah.
Not so much a problem if you've got a smaller iPod, but when you've got the bigger ones like we do.
Mm-hmm.
I've got like almost 60 gigs on my machine.
Then I've got 30 on mine.
Yeah,
so.
It's like just getting to the song that I want to, like this morning for... I'm not a big country and western listener, okay? But
yet you listen to Garth Brooks.
But anything that's on my computer or is in my iTunes is also on my iPod.
Right.
And there's a lot of stuff in my iTunes I don't like. And the reason for that is
It fits.
Two girls that both have iPods. The three-year-old doesn't. And my wife, she has her iPod.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have their own playlists. And my wife likes country music. So there's a lot of stuff on my iPod that I'm like, eh. I could get rid of it if I wanted to, but I really don't want to manage the playlist on my iPod. I just let it sync everything and I don't worry about it. But the three-year-old really likes the Thunder Rolls song.
Mm-hmm.
It takes click, 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 going down to artists, going over to the G's. Yeah. And, you know, that's just a big pain. And then once I get there, I get the albums, and I got to remember which album it's on. Then I have to go over and then scroll down to that song. Mm-hmm. I've said for a long time the interface to the iPod is not intuitive. At least it's not for a car.
No.
And not if you have a huge amount of songs on there. It's a pain in the butt to get to stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, so...
I agree totally, because I go through it every morning on my way to work and back. So.
What am I going to listen to this time?
Yep.
So, I don't know. And we keep falling back on what is Apple developing. But they have this huge war chest. What are they going to buy? What technologies are out there that you think that would benefit Apple if they could buy a certain technology? Not necessarily to leave it exactly the way it is, because that's really not Apple's way. But to adapt it to work with Apple's existing and emerging electronics business.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think Guy's right. I think Apple wants to get into the living room, and there's still a lot to be done there. And like I said before, the Apple TV, while it's a neat device, and it's going to be $300, I'll get one.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all there though. There's still pieces missing.
Well, not only is there pieces missing, but that doesn't replace anything. It's just yet another item that I have to squeeze in between the PS3 and the Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of the Apple TV, you know that there's a USB port in the back of it.
Yeah, it's just for maintenance, though.
I know. I don't understand that. That blows my mind. I mean, why not have it open so if somebody wants to have
they don't
a larger
leave
drive...
It open. Mm-hmm. They don't want to leave it open. And if not, it's... Well, of course, like anything else on an Apple product... It can be upgraded via firmware, so maybe that is
for
$2. In the plans.
Yeah.
Want to take a moment and thank Small Dog Electronics for sponsoring this podcast.
Small Dog.
If you need an Apple TV when it comes out next month, remember Small Dog Electronics will be happy to sell you one. But you know, if you've got an older Mac and you'd like to upgrade, that'd be a good place to check out. They they have a lot of products up there, and a lot of refurbished. A lot of people are scared about refurbished products, but you know what?
No need to be. Fine luck with my refurbished Small Dog products.
They have the same warranty as the brand new one, and if it saves you a couple $100, I mean,
why not?
Guy, you've got an open box iMac, right?
Yes, I did, and I got it for almost 20% off because it was an open box.
Yeah,
same warranty, same everything.
Everything, and how's it work? I bet it's great.
It is fantastic.
Yeah, in fact, in some respects, I you know, if it was a four-year-old product that was refurbished, I might be a little skeptical. I don't know about that. But if it's a new product, if it's something that's, you know, you can buy this refurbished one for 20% less because it was returned. Well, if it was returned, that means somebody at Apple literally looked at the machine to make sure that it's okay.
A real human being.
That's right. So I'd probably be a little bit more confident about that product than I would a brand new one that probably just rolled off the assembly line and was
China.
Cursory checked.
Well, I did the same thing for my kids when I got them their 17-inch G5 iMac 2 years ago.
Awesome.
And it's going great.
Yep. We're going to be looking at here in the very near future some upgrades for your older Macs. I think you're going to be doing a lot of that, aren't you, Guy?
Yeah, Fast Mac. I sent Michael. Lauterbeck, I think his name is.
Yeah. We talked to him at the Macworld
Expo. Right.
Yep.
I sent him an email today. I gave him the specifics of my older tower, the 933 G4 Quicksilver.
While we may be staying up on the cutting edge of technology, a lot of our listeners don't. They're using older machines.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And what do you do with those older machines? Should you spend money on a processor upgrade, or should you go ahead and buy a new machine? We're kind of at a transition right now, though. That, you know, it's cool that FastMac and companies like that and Sonnet are making these processor upgrades for the older G4. And as fast as it may make those machines, you have to realize that even if you got a chip that's, you know, 5 gigahertz to drop into your G4, which... You're not going to do. But even
if
you
could. And
then
there's a big blinding puff of smoke.
Yeah. Even if you could, you still have to remember that Apple has left the PowerPC architecture behind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that is a dead architecture.
Yes,
unfortunately. So keep that in mind, Guy, when you're doing your reviews.
Yep. Oh yeah, but I mean, and I'm not going to talk about prices or anything, but the processors are reasonably priced, and you know, if you're looking at the difference of getting somewhere between say a 15% to 30% upgrade in the speed of your computer for a few hundred dollars as compared to spending $1,500 to $2,000 on a new computer, hey, you know,
might be a good viable course of action.
If it keeps you current for another 1 or 2 years, yeah, then it's definitely would definitely be worth it.
Computer users don't see, unless it's at least 20% faster, people really don't perceive a difference in speed in a computer. Unless it's at least 20% faster than what you currently mm-hmm. have. And usually people aren't satisfied with a faster computer unless it's 50% faster. So, we do have some big news. We might as well get to it now.
Okay.
We're going to have a little bit of fun in March.
Ooh.
As longtime listeners have known, we've gone to the Apple Store in Grand Rapids, Michigan twice now. The first time, Guy Searle and myself went up and did the podcast for our 100th episode.
Yep.
Which is still up online. You can go download that if you've never heard it. It's totally different than any of the other podcasts we've done before or after. It's all mm-hmm. segments. It's got a great song from John Farr.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Yeah, and it was really fun to do that podcast. It was a great time. I'm very proud of that podcast. I really liked it. That was the first time we went up. The second time was about, what, a month later or so?
I would say, I think it was about November.
Yeah, November something. And mm-hmm. Chad Perry and I went up, and we did a podcasting class at the Apple Store, mm-hmm. which didn't turn out quite as well as Chad and I had hoped.
Yeah.
And there was a number of factors that led to that, but we weren't really sure whether we were going to go back up there or not. So I was sitting in the media room during Macworld Expo. Was it the day of the keynote or the day after the keynote? It was the day after the keynote.
I think it was the day after the keynote, yeah.
Yeah, it was Wednesday.
You got a phone call. Yep.
Yeah, I got a phone call, and it was the Apple Store in Grand Rapids inviting us to come back up and do another podcast. And I said, well, let's talk when I get back. And we had a nice conversation last week. Or was it the week before? No, it was last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, we'd love to come up, but you have to remember that we have a large audience, but it's a worldwide audience. You know, somebody in London isn't going to come to Michigan to check us out recording the show live. Even though they should. That's right. So we would really need Apple's help to promote the fact that we're going to be there. And this is going to be different than the 100th podcast or the podcasting class that Chad and I did. Not sure if Guy Searle is going to be there or not. We're still working out some details.
That's going to depend on a couple of things.
Yeah, a couple of different things. But Chad Perry and I are definitely going to be there.
Yep.
And
I'll be there in spirit.
You may be there more than in spirit. If we can't physically get you to be there,
Skype it.
I think we'll Skype. Well, or no, we'll probably iChat and do a video iChat and put his face full screen. That would be kind of neat.
And then the whole store empties.
Empties out, clears them out of there. So,
Mommy, who shaved the Wookiee?
That's what they call me in my Taekwondo class.
The Wookiee? That's
yeah,
good.
They call me Chewbacca.
Well, that's only because every time they hit you, you go, I think we've already got the format pretty much nailed down of what we're going to do at this show. Half the show, the beginning of the show, is probably going to be a question and answer period. We're going to talk about the latest Apple news, you know, what you can do with your Mac, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of audience participation. And the second half of the show is going to be called the Apple Quiz.
Ooh.
You want to tell them what the Apple Quiz is, Chad?
And the Apple Quiz is how we're going to unload all the great swag we'll be bringing with us to the Apple
Store.
That's
right. Free giveaways for people.
So we'll be asking some trivia about Apple and Apple history. And to the person who gets the question right?
I'll give you a question right now.
Okay.
What year was the Macintosh released? Well, duh. We all know that. It's 1984.
Yeah.
So we would ask that question, and then we would have either people come up to the microphone, or if, depending on the equipment that we're using that day, we'll probably have the equipment so we can go out to the audience and put the microphone to them. And if they get it right, they get something.
They get it wrong, they get a great big smack in the head.
That's right. I'm already talking to some companies about sponsoring that podcast. In other words, the companies that are going to give us stuff to mm-hmm. give away. Already we have two definites, Roxio.
Mm-hmm.
And Roxio has, let's see, they gave us a couple copies of popcorn, the new toast.
Wow.
And
that's something I'd like to get.
Yeah, that looks pretty cool, that new toast. It doesn't come with butter, though, so you have to supply your own butter.
Jam. Damn.
And, you know, I'm drawing a blank right now, and this is bad because they are sponsoring us. But and we'll have more details as the show goes on. But it's a ringtone program that mm-hmm. allows you to send your MP3s, create your own ringtones, and send it to your cell phone. So that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
That's like six products right there. So they already we already have six products to give away.
And wasn't there one other company?
Yeah, well,
or
there's
you
a couple.
Wait on that?
Well, there's a certain company that starts with the G who emailed me today and said they're very, very interested. They wanted some more details
mm-hmm.
and that they would definitely want to participate. But until I actually get a firm commitment and what we're going to be giving away from that company, we'll hold off announcing that one. But the one that has agreed, I'm still waiting for the big box of mm-hmm. goodies to show up. And I only know one thing for sure, probably two, from this company, and that's Microsoft.
Yeah.
Once again, Microsoft has come through. Microsoft... I don't care what people say, how evil all their...
They've Microsoft always been great about supporting us.
They've
supporting
always been great.
Yeah. Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
We've had, three times that we've given Microsoft products away on this podcast. Mm-hmm. We had the full Microsoft contest. We did that again. And then we also gave away Microsoft products at the 100th podcast.
Mm-hmm. That's right. A full copy of Office went to somebody who had just bought a new Mac Pro.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. and he went and got a copy of a $400 program simply for being at the mm-hmm. right place at the right time.
Saying, and who the heck are you guys?
So we're going to have a copy of Office 2004. I know a lot of people are like, oh, what about the new version? Well, it's not out yet.
And may not be out for a while.
Yeah,
so.
But and we can't
we'll give you a coupon.
Away. That's right. We'll give you a coupon that says you can buy a copy later. Honestly, Office 2004 isn't going away anytime soon. That's a great piece of software.
Yes, it is.
Fantastic.
I use it every day.
Mm-hmm. So do I.
Well, I mean, look at how long we used Office 2000 until 2004 came out.
That's right. Well, I think that was technically Office X.
Oh, yeah. Yep, it was.
Yeah. So when did Office 2004 come out? I'm kidding. Never mind.
I have to remember. might have been a couple years ago. And I believe they're also sending us some of their keyboard and mouse combination sets.
Yeah, I think we gave some of those mm-hmm. away as well.
We gave two of those away last time.
Yep.
Yes.
So we're going to have a lot of cool stuff to give away. All you have to do is bone up on your Apple history. And just in case, because we all know that there are new people coming into the Apple store that have never owned a Mac product, we don't really expect them to know Apple trivia. How are they going mm-hmm. to know it? We'll throw a couple bones out to those people. We'll ask tech questions in general.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have not just Apple stuff, not just Mac or iPod or iPhone items, questions, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have different things, too, to talk about. So I'm going to look for it. It's going to be March 10th. It's going to run from 2 to 3:30. That's great. We're going to be there for an hour and a half at the Woodland Mall, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Again, March 10th.
Yep.
I'm really looking forward to this.
Oh, man, I hope I can go. I would really, really be disappointed if I couldn't go.
Well, there are a couple of vendors that are listening to this show. I know for a fact. the only way we're really going to get Guy to come up here and do the podcast with us is if we can find a sponsor who wants to pony up about $800 cash. So if you want to sponsor that event, let me know.
Remember, I will only accept first-class airline tickets and a suite at the Hilton, and barring that, I'll take a donkey ride and a blanket in the park.
Get Guy up here...
Food coupons for Red Robin.
Honestly, it's only going to cost about $50 to get Guy here, but Guy's a big guy,
mm-hmm.
and the other $750 is just to feed this guy. He's crazy.
But not at Red Robin.
Not at Red Robin.
I'm really looking forward to it. Apple is literally rolling out the red carpet for us. They're going to promote the show or the podcast.
Has there been anything on
their website? No, not yet. I'm actually writing the PR. So, no, because you can't look that far ahead on the calendar. But they've already got the descriptor that's going to be on their website, so people will know what's coming. They're going to have promotional items in the store, letting people know that we're going to be there on a certain date. It's going to be fantastic. And I thank you very much to Apple Computer and the Apple Store in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. You know, I can't say anything negative about the people up there in Grand Rapids.
No, they were they were really, really great.
Aren't they this? I didn't know what to expect before I went in there for the first time, but they're just so accommodating. They're so, and not just because we're podcasters, they're generally nice people. I really like them. Yep. So we're boring the hell out of our audience right now, I think.
So is it time to stop then and go to another segment?
Well, we do have a segment coming up from John Nemo. I haven't listened to it myself, I'll confess, but I'm really looking forward to it. He did an interview with Don
Confess!
He did an interview with Don McAllister. I'm looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Hazelrig, Glibligru. Did I say his name wrong?
No, you actually said it right.
There you
go. How dare you?
Robert did a review that I cannot remember what it was right now. So for those who don't know, we don't literally cut away from what we're doing here and then bring someone else in and they do their... No. They send us their segments. It's, you know, John does his interviews and he sends me that interview. Robert does his reviews and he sends me one or two at a time. And David Cohen does his fenestration and he sends that. So right now, I know for a fact that after we're done yakking here, we've got John and we've got Robert. I don't know if we'll have David yet because I haven't gotten fenestration yet. So that might be coming up when we get done talking and it might not be.
Well, speaking of
David
Cohen,
yeah,
he's going to be in West Palm Beach in March, and going to be visiting with my brother Larry. Yeah, they've been kind of emailing back and forth, talking
about
various issues.
You should definitely tell them to record a little podcast together.
Well, either that, or I think we should have Larry and David
on
the podcast.
Absolutely.
The last time we had David on as an actual guest, we had to coordinate around the holidays because.
And it was then. It was even
plus
10
the time difference, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was huge.
It was 10 or 11 o'clock.
I haven't heard back from him yet, but I have actually sent an invitation to Mazen El Angari in Saudi Arabia.
Yep.
For him to come on the podcast. Now that's going to be logistical nightmare at least for him.
That's like a 10-11 hour time difference.
Exactly.
And that's probably one of those things where you and I will have to do it in the morning, or
late at night
you may have
or
to
something.
Do.
But however we can work
I'd
around
I'd love
it.
To have Mazen on. I think it'd be great.
I really hope we can logistically work it out.
Yeah.
MyMac.com has just a ton of content right now. And we do have a large staff. And we're hoping to get more and more of our staff members on the podcast as time goes on.
Yeah.
And we're also going to be doing a lot more video work here in the very near future. I'm going to get Chad's pretty face on video here real quick. Trust me. Right now we've got an earphone comparison review from John Nemo. Interesting. He looks at four different headphones. If you're looking to replace
he
your
is the king
Apple,
of headphones.
He is.
He's, headphones and backpacks.
He's doing a really, really great in books.
Yeah.
If we could only combine them.
He also did a written review of the iTalk Pro, which Bill Palmer, we keep bringing Bill Palmer up, but he was using one of those up at the Macworld Expo this year
to do interviews
on his iPod. And the sound quality was quite good. I was really surprised. After John sent me his review, I went, man, that was something that Chad and I really wanted to do the review on the podcast, because we can literally do the entire podcast on that once and use that as a basis of the review.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, guy.
It's okay. It's all right.
And, but Griffin Technology, wait, that's a name that starts with a G, isn't it? The mystery deepens.
Something deepens.
Yeah. They're going to send us one as well. So
cool.
We're going to get one of those in, and we're going to test it out, Chad.
All right.
Donnie Ankelo looks at Spam Sweep. He really liked that program.
Mm-hmm.
If you're getting a lot of spam in your Mac, like it just appears there, in your email box, might be a program you want to look into.
And Donnie's also got another Macspiration, number 69, posted, which is system preference tips. And actually, those were useful for anyone who's got a laptop or just wants to set their Mac up more personal.
You know, if you go check out the MyMac.com site, always look for the big M on mm-hmm. whatever logo it happens to be on. The big right. M for Macspiration. If you're a new yep. Mac user and you don't really want to go out and buy one of those dummies books mm-hmm. or this, that, or the other, you just want a quick read that will further your knowledge of your new computer. Yep. You can't do any better than Donnie.
That's right.
He's going to hit you with a really quick, with pictures. He's going to show you exactly how to do it.
And if you want to get all 69 of them, then just go to the home site, click on Archives, and click Donnie Yankelow's name.
Can you believe next week I'll be posting Macspiration number 70?
Good Lord.
That's amazing. He's going to have some catching
up to us. Wouldn't that make a good e-book?
Why? Well, we're looking at that, but we were also looking at doing some video work with Donnie,
mm-hmm.
where he would actually create these videos showing you how to do it. Mm-hmm. So it's instead of a Macspiration, well, I don't want to say instead of, but in addition to,
yeah.
included,
that Donnie and I would actually produce these videos and post those online too. And if we did enough of them, we can put it on a DVD and, you know, sell it relatively cheaply and send it out to people. And
you know, Donnie doesn't.
Your Mac and learn.
Donnie doesn't live that far from me. I really should get together with him.
If he doesn't live that far, you ought to be ashamed of yourself for not meeting him in person. Mm-hmm. That guy.
Well, I'm ashamed of myself, but it has very little to do with Donnie.
Speaking of Small Dog Electronics being our sponsor for this podcast, I posted up on Saturday Kibble and Bytes number 500. They send out a weekly newsletter to all their customers that sign up for this mailing list called Kibble and Bytes. And, of course, they tell you what's on sale this week and the cool deals. And some of the deals you can only get if you find out about it on the Kibble and Bytes mailing list. They give you this little code. So
mm-hmm.
it's kind of cool. But, you know, more importantly, they always supply a lot of great content in these Kibble and Bytes.
Yeah.
It could be a mini review. It could be a how-to. It's amazing the type of content that they are producing in these Kibble and Bytes. And we don't post every single one up, but we do post a lot of them. Make sure you check out the number 500. It was posted on January 20th up at the MyMac.com website. And over on the blog side, a lot less political stuff, a lot more Mac stuff, a lot of good stuff up there. What's going on with this? It's all about the DRM, baby, post from you, guy.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Yeah, well, you know, I go onto a lot of tech sites, and everybody, you know, anytime DRM comes up, it's always... It's, you know, they somehow everyone seems to have it in their head that it's Apple's fault. That if Apple would just take away the DRM, well, then, you know, the world would be a happy, sunshiny place.
Are
of course, we wouldn't have
wouldn't
any
be?
Content in iTunes. No, I'm saying that if Apple would take away the DRM, if they would take it out of iTunes, that the world would be a happy, sunshiny place. Kind of like a Partridge Family moment.
And so that's what you address in this article.
Blog. Well, I mostly talk about, you know, why the DRM is there, and in relation to that, you know, the iPod is so very popular, but it's not really a monopoly, you know, not in the same way that Microsoft was a monopoly with their operating system, and I explain why, and I talk about DRM, and that, you know, compare the DRM that you're forced to use with iTunes purchased content, audio and video content, to the types of DRM schemes that you have with Plays For Sure or the Zune. And it's very, very liberal.
Cool.
You know,
if you
want to
learn more, go Ooh. Read the blog.
That's right, because I'm just a scary good writer.
You know, speaking of Guy, his brother Larry, who I met for the first time at the Macworld Expo, mm-hmm. A swell chap.
Mm-hmm.
He's a swell chap. He wrote this really cool, and he's got some pictures too, really cool blog called I Learned About That. I learned about radio from that.
Yeah.
The brief descriptor is a long-winded, but very worthwhile, read and very biased account of my blessedly brief career in South Florida radio in the early 1970s, which Guy can't talk about Florida anymore, but we won't get into that.
don't go there.
David Coham also writes a little bit about DRM.
Yep.
Why is Apple DRM a DRM bad guy? I can't read tonight.
Okay, now let's settle one thing.
mine's
somebody's
bigger.
Been posting like crazy about how good they are at picking football teams for the Super Bowl.
I know it.
And let's figure out what's the actual outcome of the Super Bowl going to be, since we're only basically what,
a week
away.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, back in October, about halfway through the season. Yeah.
Well, let's say we're talking about American football for our overseas listeners who couldn't give a crap about pigskin football here in the United States.
Right. It's the football that matters, but we won't go into that. About halfway through the American football season, I made some, I basically took some darts and threw it at a wall and came up with who looked to me to be the better teams.
And how'd you do?
I did about 75-80%. And,
cool.
I missed a couple. I didn't quite get some of the wild cards right, but,
So this next weekend...
it's Chicago. Not next weekend. It's
next weekend. Yeah. We have the Chicago Bears against the Indianapolis Colts.
That's
two of the oldest football teams in the NFL, mm-hmm. kind of, sort of,
yeah. Indianapolis Colts, they used to be in Baltimore. They were the Baltimore Colts.
Right. Yep. And then they moved and became...
in the middle of the night.
Yeah. And then Baltimore got another team called the Ravens, but it's convoluted crap.
Yeah,
but Chicago hasn't moved anywhere. They're the same mm-hmm. team they've ever been. Same with our Detroit Lions, their Chad.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a good football game. I'm looking forward to it. And
but no, I called Chicago and Indianapolis to be in the Super Bowl in October. Yeah, baby.
And Guy and I disagree on who's going to win.
Yep. I think it's gonna be Chicago.
I want Chicago to win, but it's going to be Indianapolis.
I want Indy to win, only for just because I'm taking pity on the poor folks in Indianapolis, because they've been also ran for so long, not just in football, but also in basketball.
Everything.
Yeah.
Well, you see,
yeah.
I went to the finals,
get to the semifinals, but then can't make it.
Yeah. I actually have a neighbor that has Ravens season tickets, and I went to the Indianapolis-Baltimore playoff game.
The day after he got back from the Expo.
Macworld. Yeah, I was near dead, but I wasn't going to miss the chance.
He called me. I'm at the stadium. Can you hear me, Tim?
Shoo!
And then we went to the Prince concert afterwards, and we had backstage tickets.
Yeah, really.
He can party.
But Indianapolis did not score a touchdown, and the Baltimore Ravens kept Peyton Manning pretty much in check. And Chicago is well known for their defense. I think they're going to hold Peyton Manning to very, very few points.
I don't think they've ever faced anyone quite like Peyton Manning this season. So.
No.
Well, we shall see.
Yes, we shall.
Again, we've got a couple more segments coming up. We want to get to those because we're killing all of our time. We're almost at 48 minutes.
Yikes. So
we want to thank our sponsors. Thank Apple Computer for making these great computers and inviting us up on March 10th.
Yep.
Really looking forward to it. If you would like to attend that event, come on up. But give me an email first. Let me know you're going to be there.
Yeah.
And I'll give you a special word. And if you come to the show and tell me that special word, we'll give you a prize.
Wow.
We'll have some prizes that are only for the special word people.
Special word people prizes.
And it's not like...
SWP.
There you go. Special word people. Rick Stringer's excluded from that contest.
Well, he has to take pictures.
Just because, right. So that is... I got an email. Mm-hmm. And I really should address this because I mentioned it on the show a couple shows ago. I was selling my G4 laptop.
Yep.
There was a couple people that was very mm-hmm. interested in buying it, and I was very close to selling it to at least two different people. And I was kind of waiting, what's going to happen with the money first? Who's going to get it to me? And the reason I wanted to sell it was because...
You bought a PS3.
Well, I wanted to buy a PS3. I wasn't going to buy one until I knew it was sold. For those people who were still maybe thinking about contacting me or were still waiting for word, it was sold. And I hate to say it, but I didn't sell it to any listener of the show. There wasn't any interest from people. There was actually quite a bit mm-hmm. of interest when they found out I was selling a 1 gigahertz PowerBook G4 for only $500. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were like... That's a hell of a good deal, especially if it's in the condition that you said it was in.
Which it was.
Chad can attest to. But we kept it in the family.
Yep.
A family member decided that they really needed a laptop. They really wanted a Mac. And when it comes to family, you just kind of got to, okay.
It's the nepotism thing that killed you guys. We're sorry.
It is. Sorry. Maybe I'll find some cheap screen and slap it on that little Mac Mini G4 I've got. I mean, literally, that thing's been on forever, but I think maybe I've touched the keyboard 7 times on it.
Yeah.
It does nothing but sit there and back up my iPhoto library.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so, you could always get a, what do they call
that? 42-inch plasma. and I'll, like, bolt it to the back of it.
But we're not going to suck up to any C-Ford.
Well, I might. If you look at those videos that we did at the Macworld Expo, those were some nice displays.
Yes,
look at that.
They were.
We're at 50 minutes already, and we've got way too much content coming up. So we are out of here. For Guy, Chad, and my name is Tim, thank you all for listening.
See you.
Bye-bye.
We'd like to go across the pond for this edition of Book Bites Live on the MyMac.com podcast, and we are delighted to have Don McAllister of Screencasts Online at the other end. Hi, Don.
Hi, John. Hi, how's it going?
Nice to meet you. Please tell us quickly, what are screencasts? We've heard of podcasts and photocasts, but what's a screencast?
Well, a screencast is a video capture of the Mac desktop, or any computer desktop, really. It's a video, obviously, and it's a screen capture of sort of someone showing you how to do something with their Mac or with their PC. And on top of that, you get a narration, get someone speaking away. And in my case, I do sort of 20, 30-minute screencasts of various Mac applications, which I then publish using podcasting technology.
And what software and hardware do you use to create these shows?
Right, well, the show itself is called Screencasts Online, and it's mainly about the Mac, so obviously I use Mac software. So, and also Mac, well, I use actual MacBook Pro as my sort of capture device, so I do all the work on the MacBook Pro, and I use a product called iShowU, which is a video capture tool. The nice thing about it is it captures the video and the audio at the same time, so I can actually record both sort of simultaneously. And then I then do some editing of the final versions of the shows that I've captured on my G5 tower, which I use Final Cut Pro to do most of the post-production on.
And that's how you do those zooms and page flips and chapter titles and all that stuff?
That's right, yeah. What I tend to do is sort of record a screencast in sort of individual segments, quite small segments, and then pull them all together in Final Cut Pro, and then that enables me to use all the tools within Final Cut to do the nice transitions and to overlay titles and good things like that.
And how long does it take you to create each different screencast, to create it, edit, prepare it for public consumption?
Yeah, it can take a while. It depends on the complexity of the show itself, because I do a wide range of shows, from very sort of basic OS X stuff to some quite complex applications that take a lot of thought to prepare and, you know, to sort of sort out logically. But on average, I'd say probably about 2 full days. I do a lot of prep, you know, and sort of organize my thoughts and work out a structure of the screencast as the most logical way to demonstrate something. Probably half a day to do all the recording side of it, and then probably 2/3 of a day then to actually do the editing. Although I am getting quicker on the editing now, I must admit, that used to take a long time, but I'm getting faster on that. But the post-production at the end as well, the sort of encoding into different resolutions, because I actually do four different versions of the show.
Yeah, please tell us about those versions.
Yeah, sure. I do, Screencast Online is a free show. Anyone can go onto iTunes and just download the free content that's available. I do a show every week and publish that through iTunes. But also I do a membership scheme as well. I do a paid membership scheme. So the free shows are in sort of iPod resolution. So they're fairly small resolution, you know, when you actually look on the desktop. But I do higher definition versions and a thing called Enhanced Desktop, which is a big step up from the normal resolution that you see on screencasts. And I also do true high definition versions of the screencasts as well, and also true iPod versions as well.
But it's exactly the same show. You just produce it a little differently.
Well, for 3 shows out of 4, it's exactly the same show. I might occasionally put some extra content in the free shows for members, but once a month I do a members-only show, and that is just for the paid members. So, and then on the free feed, I then put like a little trailer or an introduction so people can see what's in the members-only show so they can decide if they want to at that point to sign up to become a member.
Well, please tell us about your background and how you developed this very, very slick format and tutorial method.
Yeah, well, my background is in IT, but I must admit I'm a fairly recent convert to the Mac. I switched across to the Mac about 2 years ago, and it was really in my evangelizing about the Mac when I first came onto the platform that I discovered that screencasts were a fantastic way to teach quite complex concepts to people. So I started doing some pretty much just to help out relatives who'd also switched across to the Mac, and then I sort of realized it would be a great way to also share some of the information, some of the things I'd learned about the Mac with other people. And it was around about the time, because this was around about August 2005 now, when I started off Screencasts Online, and I thought it'd be a great idea to convert it into a podcast, and it sort of all blossomed from there, really.
Well, that's fantastic. Do you have any competitors at this point?
Not really. I mean, there are other sites that do sort of screencasts and video tutorials. There's some of the big guys. But see, the difference with me and the other people who are doing sort of tutorials is that most of the other sites have multiple tutors, and they're all different. They all have their own style, and you know. But with me, it's just me. I do everything, so people tend to become familiar with my sort of style and my approach to how I deal with the tutorials. And I don't think there's any other sort of single person doing a weekly video podcast that covers screencasts.
Do you assume a certain level of user competence?
Not really. Something I sort of pride myself on in that I do try to go back to basics, but always conscious of the fact that the people who watch Screencast Online are an extremely wide range of people. People who've only just switched to the Mac, in fact, people who haven't switched to the Mac yet, you know, people who are just sort of checking out what the Mac scene is all about, through to people who've sort of got 15, 20 years under the belt on the Mac scene. So it's quite difficult to gauge it sometimes, but the feedback I'm getting, I mean, even from the diehard Mac people, you know, they always say even if it's a package that they've used before, they always watch the show and they always pick up at least one or two little pointers that they perhaps hadn't realized before, or, you know, they just never thought about. So I'm lucky in that I probably can just about cope with sort of any level of skill.
Well, let's remind our listeners to the MyMac.com podcast that we are talking to Don McAllister of Screencasts, plural, online.com, and we will have links in our show notes so they can find out more about it, but they can also subscribe straight through their iTunes. Is that correct, Don?
Yeah, that's right. If you just do a quick search for Screencasts Online in iTunes, you'll find the video podcast. But also, if you go to screencastsonline.com, there's some small introduction videos there that tell you all about the service. And also, if for anyone who wants to... One of the problems that people sometimes have, because there are over 80 screencasts now,
whoa,
it's sometimes difficult to find, you know, a particular one you're interested in. If you have a look at the sidebar on the site itself, there's a number of show categories where all the different shows are grouped into different sort of categories, applications for switches, iLife 06, iPod.
Oh, yes, I've seen that.
Yeah, so you can go there and have a look at that. Also, if you're brand new to the Mac, I've created a new page called, well, New to the Mac, and you can just have a look at all these sort of switcher-type tutorials that are available from that page as well, which is quite useful.
How do you serve all these large media files worldwide? Do you have a server the size of Buckingham Palace?
No, not really. I use a commercial service called Libsyn. I don't know if you're familiar with Libsyn. Libsyn are a dedicated hosting provider specifically for podcasters. And to be honest, I'd never have got to where I am today without Libsyn's backup.
How do you spell it?
It's Libsyn, I think.
Libsyn.
Okay. Libsyn, yeah.
We'll look that up.
Yeah. What it is, it's specifically for podcasters in that they don't charge on the amount of bandwidth that you use. They charge purely on the amount of storage. They sort of have a set amount of storage you can use each week, or rather each month. So if you're just doing a podcast and you're going along fine and then suddenly you take off and your bandwidth goes through the roof, it doesn't cost you any extra. You still pay the same amount. Which is, you know, incredible value, really, especially when looking at video files, because obviously I'm kicking a few terabytes of data, probably a week at this rate, because of the audience that I've got and the size of the files.
And how much direct contact do you have with your new and existing subscribers?
Well, there's different ways. Obviously, people can always contact me via email. I'm pretty much live on my Mac during the day, on UK time, obviously, but people send me lots of emails. There's also a Screencast Online forum as well, which has got about there's about 1,300 or 1,400 people on there now.
That's
quite a... In fact, that sort of got a life of its own now. I sort of started it off, but there's a hardcore group of really nice people who frequent the forums and help out with people with queries about Screencast Online and the Mac in general. And that's always a good place to hang out as well. You know, there's lots of threads and lots of discussions going on the forums itself.
Well, for new listeners, I want you to realize Don is a fast talker. But the good thing is, when you're watching the screencast online the first time, coming into it cold, you can always go back if for some reason his Liverpool accent or his UK English is not something that you're used to. Don't be intimidated by the speed of his talking, because what he has to say is definitely worth paying attention to. And is this, last question, is this your full-time job now?
Yes, it is. I actually went into this full-time around about March of this year because, you know, the numbers were going up as far as the viewers were concerned. I was getting great feedback that, you know, I'd sort of found a great niche. And, yes, I thought, let's go for it. So I packed in my IT. I mean, I've got a background in IT anyway, but I decided to jack that in and have a go at doing this full-time. And it seems to be going pretty well. Oh, and by the way, the speed of... I tend to talk an awful lot faster when I'm sort of being interviewed or on the phone than I do when I'm actually doing the screencast. In fact, a lot of people say that it's my relaxed manner and the easygoing pace of the screencast that sort of attracts them to it. So please don't be put off by me rattling away the answers to all these questions.
No, we don't want to scare anybody away from Screencasts Online or the MyMac.com podcast. We are very happy to meet Don McAllister. We'll certainly keep in touch with you. We'll keep an eye on your site, because at MyMac.com we believe very strongly in tutorials, and that's one of our goals. So we can now refer our listeners and readers to Screencasts Online for topics that you cover that we don't intend to cover. Thank you very much for joining us, Don. Welcome to the MyMac.com podcast, and all the best until next year when we talk to you again, wherever and whenever it's going to be. Thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, cheers, John. Thanks for that. Nice to speak to you.
Hello, everyone. Robert Hazelrig here from the Jersey Shore. You might note that my voice sounds a little different today. That's because I've upgraded my microphone. In all my previous segments, I had been using an EyeSight camera to record all my podcasts. It did a handy job and sounded very, very good. However, I noticed that sometimes when I shifted my mouth away from the microphone, a lot of the clarity had dropped off significantly. Anyway, the people at Samsung, that's S-A-M-S-O-N Audio, have been so kind to send me a new Samsung CO3U USB mic pack. It comes with a really nice microphone, a stand for the microphone, as well as a shock mount. The sound quality seems to be far superior to the microphone I was using previously, and I've been very impressed with it so far. Look for a future review from myself coming up soon. I need to spend a little more time on this microphone before I give a full review, but up front, it's been very, very, very nice. Today I'd like to talk to you about a product from a company called Micro Optical. And the product that they have provided me with is something called MyView. That's spelled M-Y-V-U. MyView is a pair of glasses, but they don't provide you with any sort of UV protection or sun glare protection or even any beneficial optical enhancement, like a pair of reading glasses would. These glasses provide you with a television screen. Yes, that's right. You plug these glasses into your iPod via a dock connector, change your iPod setting to video on, and what you will see when you put these glasses on is exactly what you would normally see in your iPod screen, or if you had connected to your television set. The screen on the glasses is relatively small, but once you're wearing the glasses, the picture size seems fairly big because the screen is so close to your eyes. Along the side of the glasses, there are also two headphones that you can plug directly into your ear. It's rather unobtrusive as far as the headphones are concerned. So you only have one cable going up into your facial area. I definitely give the people at Micro Optical two thumbs up for originality and a good thumbs up on execution. The idea is very original, and the way they've put this all together is very interesting. However, there are some things that I don't particularly care for about the glasses themselves. One that I found myself suffering from eye strain trying to watch the video. Every time I took the glasses off, I either found my eyes tearing or I had felt like I had my eyes crossed for a length of time and was very uncomfortable viewing. The other thing I didn't particularly care for about the unit itself is the way it attaches to your iPod. There actually is an additional battery required to use the glasses for any length of time. You could just plug your iPod into the glasses, but the battery drain from the glasses will render your iPod without any juice in under an hour. So they do supply you with an extra battery, but the way it attached to the iPod was rather clunky. The other thing I wasn't too keen on about the glasses was the sticker price. They retail for about $300, which seemed to be a little steep for me, considering that, you know, if I wanted to watch video on my iPod, I could just watch video on my iPod. I don't need the glasses. But they are a rather cool device. I'm sure they will appeal to a number of individuals out there. I just was not particularly sold on the device itself. I would also like to add into my review the fact that when you do wear these glasses, you can actually walk around. Although I wouldn't recommend driving or operating any heavy machinery, you have, when you wear these glasses, out the front view, you can see to the left and the right. You can see out with some peripheral vision along the very very side edges of the glasses. You cannot see out, but you can also see above and below the glasses because they really are a thin stripe across your eyes. They're not, you know, full protective eye gear like most sunglasses are. So you really can walk around. You look rather strange when you do so, and I had a number of comments to the fact that I did look rather strange wearing these. Anyway, so that's my review of the MyView. Definitely not a product for me. It is a product of interest, and if you're interested, definitely go over to Micro Optical and check out the MyView. This has been Robert Hazelrig. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.